Some of us are pretty good at filling our schedules up, but Pastor Dave Rolfe encourages us to stop and evaluate what we're doing and what we're called to do. Next.
What keeps you from going off and spending time alone with God? As far as that goes, what keeps you from just having free time, just time to breathe, time to live? We live here in Southern California. It's beautiful. When was the last time you went down to the beach and watched the sunset? Have you done it in the last 6 months? What's wrong with you if you haven't? Write down everything that kept you from going to the beach and watching the sun go down, and make those part of your list too. Make those suspect, because there are so many beautiful things that God puts in our path just to enjoy, and instead, nope, more stuff. Gotta get more stuff.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hey, welcome again to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. Dave is currently leading us through a series of studies in 2 Chronicles. It's too bad that many people tend to shy away from the accounts of ancient Israel and Judah. There are a great many practical lessons for us to learn here, including 2 Chronicles chapter 29, where we'll be at today. There came a time in King Hezekiah's life where he needed to do some spring cleaning, if you will. Pastor Dave believes it's a good idea for us to do that every so often, to clear out the clutter and make space for what really matters in life. And rest, too.
Ask yourself, what keeps me from taking a stand? What keeps me from being committed? And write down some of those things on your list, and they might be things that God wants to get out of your life. And then when it comes to serving God, you go, I want to serve God, but I'm just so busy. I want to serve God, but I don't know if I can do that or this or the other thing. What keeps you from doing that? God says, I want you to serve me. That's why I chose you. And so if you think, for instance, I'll give a for instance. We made the announcement about the Calvary Chapel Tijuana Men's Conference. We need people to, you know, work to usher and to do security in the parking lot. So you say, oh, that'd be kind of cool in a way, but boy, that day I have other things planned. That would take so much, and frankly, I have gifts in other areas. If they wanted someone to come and speak to the men's conference, I might clear the time up, but babysit cars, I don't think so. And so that serving opportunity for you becomes an opportunity for you to make a list of some other suspicious things in your life that may need to be removed. So what is it that you're doing on that day? Let's see, it's June 18th. What are you doing on June 18th? Write it down. All the things that keep you from being able to do that. Now, please, we don't need hundreds of guys to go down there and do this. But we need some guys who will say, I wonder. It'd be kind of cool to do that, but I have a lot of other things to do. Put those things on your list. If those things are keeping you from being available to serve God, maybe there are things that should be removed from your life. Again, we fill our lives. We load them over, burden them down. Now, what if you said, ooh, I had something, I was going to mow my lawn on that day. Well, what if God's just saying, why do you spend so much time mowing your lawn? Why don't you just hire somebody to mow your lawn? Or better yet, why not just get a house with a smaller lawn? You go, oh, I never thought of that. But is that worth standing in the way of serving God? Maybe if it is, there are some adjustments that need to be made. But think about this, and this will let you know, guys, how overloaded we are. Imagine if you're listening to this message and you feel like God's just saying, I want you to go work that parking lot in Tijuana, and I want you to cancel whatever else you had scheduled for that day. And you go, okay, I'll do it in obedience to God. And you go back and you sign up. And now it's a day or two before the conference, and you get a phone call that says, hey, the conference was canceled. Something's wrong in the building. They aren't able to do it, so sorry, you're off the hook. How would that make you feel if you had a Saturday with nothing scheduled? If you had this piece of time and it was completely free, wouldn't that feel good? I mean, as much as you might be looking forward to going to Tijuana, Would your thought be, oh, no, those men won't get the word? Or would it be, oh, I can't believe it. I can just relax. I can just lay back and breathe. See, you don't need to fill that extra time when it frees up. But that's what we think we have to do, and we do that constantly. And I'm one of the worst offenders. Okay, there's free time. What are we going to do? There's a time here. What's going to happen? And God's saying, that's not the way I call you to serve me. Jesus said about his yoke, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. Does he just want you to rest all the time? No. But Jesus amazes me as the one guy that's walked the face of this earth that was never in a hurry, who didn't start his ministry till he was 30 years old and only ministered for 2-3 years. And he never seemed to be rushing. He never seemed to be overwhelmed, never seemed to be burdened down. Because he said, my yoke, my burden, it's not like that. And he's saying the same thing today to us. And if we're burdened down, put those things on your list. They should all be up for grabs. I don't care how good they are. I don't care if you've signed up to do the Tijuana thing. Put it on the list. Maybe you're not supposed to do it. But ask yourself, are there things in my life that are just burdens that aren't involved with me serving, doing something that I know God called me to do? And so often, those things that are extra, those things that need to be swept out, cleaned up, dumped out, they're things that stand in the way of us serving God the way he wants us to serve him. And so we need to look at those things and find out what's getting in the way, what's causing the log jam, what's causing the burdening and the overloading, serving God. He goes on to say not only that you're chosen to serve him, but that you should minister to him. Now, we sometimes think of, well, minister to God, we would think of that as being service. In fact, when I'm overwhelmed with all God has done for me, I want to show him my gratitude by doing things for him as well, by serving him. And often our service is rightfully motivated by a desire to express to him gratefulness for what he's done for us. But there's a ministry that goes beyond that. And you may think that God doesn't need anything from us, so he just wants us to do stuff for his kids. But the truth is, God does want something from us, and it's as important to him as our service for him, and that is our ministry to him. These Levites, big part of their job was going in and just worshiping God. And how often do we do that? Especially how often do we do it freely? Oh, you know, whenever we come to church, we have a time of worship. And that's great. That's important. That's as it should be. And I enjoy that. But sometimes it feels kind of forced because you have to sing the songs they picked to sing. The words are up there. You got to do it. You can't just do your own little tune or people will start staring at you. And there are people around and there are distractions. And you start out worshiping God and then you're going, wow, what's with the drywall up there? They still haven't painted that. And, you know, it looks like, well, I have a friend who hangs drywall. He probably could have done a better job than that. And, oh, what happened here? And something's missing there. And look at those fake plants. And one thing after another, it's like, whoa, what happened? I started out trying to worship God and now I'm noticing everyone and everything around me, distractions. But in our personal worship of God, the same thing happens. See, the word worship came from the old English word worship. When we worship, what it is we're telling God what he's worth, how much he matters to us. And yet, unfortunately, when we don't worship, we're showing him he doesn't mean that much to us. And when we worship, we are so often distracted, as much as you can be distracted in a church. You can be distracted on your own as well. As you say, oh, God, I just want to worship. What's going on here? And we have to set aside time to worship him, to minister to him because he's worth it. And sometimes a great clue as to things that you might want to get rid of in your life are those things that pop into your head while you're trying to worship God. I'm worshiping? No, I'm not. Oh, I'm back. I'm worshiping? No, I'm thinking of lunch today or my car. I'm distracted. Write those things down on your list, some of those things that are intruding on worship of God. See, to worship God the way he wants you to do it, it should be a daily thing. It should be personal between you and the Lord. It should happen generally in the morning, first thing you get up. You go, oh no, please don't get off on that. I don't get up very well. Why don't you get up very well? Why didn't you get up yesterday and spend some time ministering to the Lord? Oh man, I was out so late Friday night. Really? What were you doing Friday night? Stick it on your list. Oh, well, I did get up early, but I had so many things to do. Put them on your list. They're all suspects. They're all things that might need to go. What keeps you and keeps me from ministering to the Lord? All kinds of stuff. When they creep in, when they show up, put them on the list. Because ministering to God is something that you and I are called to do. He chose us to do that. It's a part of our divine mandate. It should be a part of what defines who we are. We're the temples. That's what a temple does. It's a place for worship. And if we're doing things other than worship, then some of those other things may need to go so that then we can have the freedom to worship Him. What keeps you from going off and spending time alone with God? Put it on your list. Far as that goes, what keeps you from just having free time, just time to breathe, time to live? We live here in Southern California. It's beautiful. When was the last time you went down to the beach and watched the sunset? Have you done it in the last 6 months? What's wrong with you if you haven't? Write down everything that kept you from going to the beach and watching the sun go down. And make those part of your list too. Make those suspect. Because there are so many beautiful things that God puts in our path just to enjoy. And instead, nope, more stuff. Got to get more stuff. When the children of Israel built the tabernacle for God, God's bedroom, the place where His glory dwelt, was 15 by 15. A couple hundred square feet. And if you add the holy place outside it, the whole thing together is 15 feet by 45 feet. What's that like? 765, I think, 675 square feet. Remember when you lived in an apartment that size? What happened? Well, you got more stuff. The reason why God could live in that little place, He didn't have much furniture. Little Ark of the Covenant in the 15 by 15 room, it's like 3 feet by 2 feet. Out in that 15 by 30 foot room, little table with some bread on it, a candlestick, little altar of incense, that's it. So He didn't really need to keep moving into bigger quarters. But see, God has been trying to teach us something all along. He created us to have space. And we fill the space. And that's not good. And what does it do to us? It crowds out those things that matter most. We're not able to take a stand because things are keeping us from committing ourselves. We're not able to serve God because, well, there's just not much room. We're not able to minister to Him. Same reason, kind of busy today. Sorry, this isn't a good time for it. And then finally, He says to them as well, and He's also chosen you to burn incense. That's the image of prayer, always. The Bible talks about our prayers coming up as incense to Him. And again, when do we take time not just to pray for the food, not just to pray to bless the service, but beyond that, to just really spend some time talking to God? Why don't you spend a long time with prayer? Think of the longest time you've ever prayed and add 5 minutes to it. Why aren't you going to do that this week? For you, it might be 5 minutes. For you, it might be an hour. What gets in the way? All the stuff that gets in the way, put it on your list. Possible things to toss out, to chuck. It's important. Prayer, He wants to hear from us. It's how He gets things done. James said, you have not because you ask not. So many areas of our lives, God's been wanting to work, but we haven't prayed. And again, a great exercise, try to pray for a long time. Oh, I know, you'll fall asleep, you'll start daydreaming, you'll think of other stuff, you'll have crazy thoughts. Everything that interrupts your prayers, go, you know, maybe that's something that has to go. You know, sometimes you're thinking, I'll be sitting out in my backyard spending time with the Lord. And next thing I know, I'm looking at our fence that's leaning over from all that wind and it's kind of falling apart and one stake is broken. And I've been praying to God and now I'm thinking about fixing a fence. Now, maybe I just need to fix the fence and then I won't have to be distracted like that. But maybe God doesn't want me to have a fence. Maybe He doesn't want me to have a house or a backyard. I don't know. It all needs to go on the list if it keeps me from doing what He tells me to do. praying to Him, spending time ministering to Him, serving Him, taking a stand for Him. That's what I'm chosen to do. And that's what my life is supposed to be about. And if it means removing things that take me away from that, I need to remove them. And it's not just those bad things. You know, it might be, you know, you'd have an easier time getting up in the morning if you weren't drunk every night and hungover. Okay, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer, I suppose. But it might just be watching some really harmless TV show that takes your time. Or it might be just the fact that you live so far away from your work that you take all that time commuting. Or it can be anything. It can be people that are in your life that are just draining you. It can be ministry that you're doing because, well, you know, I said I'd do it, and so I'm just going to do it for life. It could be great things that are crowding out the best things, the things that God has for us. And so we need to make sure of what God has chosen us to do and make sure we do that. And then with the other stuff, don't just get rid of the minimum so you can get by, but create some space in your life. Create some room to do nothing even. To just meditate on Him or just enjoy yourself or just have a day when you don't have anything planned. It's why the Sabbath was created by God, so that every 6 days, now all of a sudden you have a day when you pretty much can't do anything. And even people who believe that today we're supposed to observe the Sabbath, they turn it into a church day. Sabbath wasn't a church day, it was a day to do nothing. Hey, if you call Sunday, Sunday might be your Sabbath, but it can't be mine. I work on Sundays. But see, it's not what it's about. Do you know that God thinks it's totally acceptable to you to do nothing sometimes and to not fill it? It's a way of us saying, God, I have enough. I'm okay just with you. And I have that wall in my house that doesn't have anything on it. I don't have to buy a piece of furniture to it. I don't have to walk into the holy place or the holy of holies and go, this is pretty nice, but man, a few pictures and some plants and a couple of sconces and this thing would really be, you know, some window treatments. I mean, let's get some light into this deal. It's okay to just go in and go, you know what? The ark is there. God is there. It's enough. It's fine. And we are so prone to fill everything, to do the most, to be efficient. And sometimes I believe God's calling us to be inefficient. And if we want to spend some time doing something, spend some time getting rid of stuff. It's a good feeling whenever you do it. Well, I thought about saying, let's declare next Saturday as our garage sale for the church. And not do it here. We don't need the junk here. But everybody at our houses, we're going to commit next Saturday, we're going to have a garage sale. But I know what would happen. We would go to each other's garage sales and buy other stuff. It's just we're obsessed that way. I was reading the other day where Anne Lamott, she's a phenomenal writer, one of the best modern writers there is, and she's a new Christian. So she'll still say some things that are kind of kooky, and she's, you know, she's a full-on liberal and everything, but really has an honesty and a way of expressing herself that always touches me. And she was doing a book signing somewhere and then taking questions. And she's one of the most honest and compassionate people you'd ever want to meet. And someone raised her hand, and as Anne Lamott was encouraging people to do the things that are on their heart, that God has put on their heart to do, a lady raised her hand and said, you know, Miss Lamott, I've written a book, and I wonder if you'd read it, you know, for me. Tell me what you think. And she, in the most loving way possible, very gently said, you know what, I've made a commitment that I don't do that. And everyone's like, hmm. She said, I want to encourage you and as much as I can to do what you can do. But she said, you know what? I've decided at this stage in my life that I am going to fiercely defend the spaciousness of my life. I really like that. The spaciousness of living spaciously. You go, well, how do you get that? Think about it. God made man and put us here on this little planet. And all the people who have ever lived on this earth combined couldn't come close to filling just this little planet. Of course, we gather all together in cities and leave the rest of it out there. But that planet is in this solar system that's huge. And in a galaxy that's even bigger. And in a universe that's who knows how big it is. And why did God do it? Create space after space after space. Because He didn't intend ever for us to fill it up. And he wanted us to be in a place where we felt free and just that grace and peace that comes from not being pushed and suffocated and overwhelmed. He created us to live in space. But what do? We feel like we have to fill the space. Hey, there's really nothing on the moon. Let's go put a bunch of junk up there. You know, well, look at all that space out there. I wonder how many satellites we can fit out there to run our BlackBerries, you know, before it's crazy. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed us how to live life, allowing there to be space, allowing the permission, in fact, the commandment to live life with peace around you, to keep cleaning up as the Levites did here. Get the rubbish out. Get the garbage out. Let's do spring cleaning. And so I believe that God would be speaking to us, and only God can speak to you personally about what issues are in your life. He's spoken to me some in mine. He probably hasn't spoken as many as my wife wishes he would speak to me, but I'm thinking about it. I may get rid of some stuff. This bag's gone. That's a start, right? But God would say to us, I created you to live in space. Why don't you do it? I didn't mean for you to fill all 24 hours. But here's what I have for you. You know, you're my child. I chose you. And I want you to finally take a stand to serve me, to minister to me, to create a prayer life, to just live your life doing what I call you to do. And make sure you leave some extra space in case there are things that I call you to do that surprise you. Make sure there's some extra time so that when an opportunity comes up, hey, no problem. I have all the time in the world to talk to you, to pray with you, to care for you. God wants to do that. Wouldn't it feel great if we did it? Why not, as a body and as individuals before God, say as Hezekiah said, now it's in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God. I'm going to do this. This is something that I want to focus on. And everything that gets in the way of the most important things, I'm going to get rid of it so that I can know that my life is being lived the way it was designed to be lived. Let's take a stand today.
Hey, thanks for joining us today for The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Again, thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475. Or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Finishing our time in prayer, here's Pastor Dave once again.
Lord, we're sorry for being garage sale junkies, for being chronic shoppers, for being people who feel like if there's a space on our calendar, sure, we'll fill it. Lord, we've violated over and over again the principle of your Sabbath. We don't take care of ourselves as we should. And as a result, we suffer. And sadly, we suffer along with you, because we're not ministering to you, praying to you, serving you as you want us to. We're sure doing a bunch of other stuff, and some of it's real good stuff. But God, I pray that you'll help us to just fiercely defend the life of living life spaciously. We'll start getting rid of stuff. that we'll be open to putting anything on the chopping block, anything on the list, and that this spring we'll clean house. And we won't just get rid of stuff to make room for more stuff. So, Lord, help us to do just this. We make this commitment before you. We take our stand today. Please help. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're on the final leg of our journey in 2 Chronicles. Just a couple more messages to go. Come back tomorrow when we'll go a little deeper into 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Here on The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my